This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. A little more than a month has passed since the state's soft reopening to tourism, and while daily arrivals are back in the thousands, the industry is far from rebounding. Concrete data on visitor arrivals, specifically where they're coming from, hasn't been released, but with COVID hotspots breaking out across the country, there's a renewed worry that even with the pre-test program, tourists may be bringing the virus with them, compounding the local community spread. With a month of lessons behind us, The Conversation's Harrison Patino spoke to economist Summer LaCroix of the University of Hawaii's Economic Research Organization.
In some ways, it's been relatively successful. People have come to Hawaii with negative tests, and they haven't had to face a 14-day quarantine, and they've been enjoying themselves in Hawaii. But the reopening hasn't come without some problems. One of the problems has been that people arrived in Hawaii with tests that were not approved under our trusted testing partner designation, and those people faced a 14-day quarantine. That was unfortunate. We also found that there are some people who took their test, didn't have the results when they came with them, and then they found that the results didn't easily get to the authorities in Hawaii, and those people have also faced quarantines. So in some sense, that's been unfortunate. It's probably not that unexpected. Difficult to do something like open up tourism with testing and to do it smoothly. The critical point for the state is to make sure that these problems don't persist. When we look ahead toward the Christmas season, that these problems are not there. Solving the problems really requires that we do more education of tourists when they purchase their air tickets, that they receive information about exactly what testing partners are required. And the state needs to figure out better how to handle people who come here who have tests that are not from approved testing partners.
Now, as the holiday season looms upon us, we're seeing nothing but increased rates of transmission in communities, especially from small family gatherings. But the general consensus right now is that COVID is spiking in a big way across the country. Do you think that's going to have a tangible effect on people's willingness to travel to Hawaii?
It's very hard to say. It could well be that people want to get away from the epidemic that's there at home. And if they perceive Hawaii to be a relatively safe travel destination, we may find there's lots of people who decide to travel to Hawaii. On the other hand, in that period leading up to the holidays, usually people are running around trying to get things together. They're trying to purchase gifts. They're trying to make arrangements for the holidays. And this year, all that stuff becomes harder. It may well be, too, that they wanted to travel and be with a larger group, and that traveling with a larger group doesn't make a lot of sense right now. People may still be worried, too, about what type of a situation they would face in Hawaii, whether or not they'd essentially be able to have the Hawaii vacation that they want to have. All that stuff is still very uncertain. It's useful to remember that we opened up with a reasonable number of people coming back from the U.S. mainland. We've been having between 6,000 and 8,000 visitors come per day. That's quite a few. Normally around this time, we would get about 30,000 visitors, but some of those visitors would typically be from Japan. So if we're looking at domestic visitors, we're still getting back a reasonably large share of the domestic market.
Now, you mentioned there this idea of people trying to get away from the pandemic in terms of having a Hawaii vacation. Precise data documenting where exactly incoming tourists are coming from isn't really readily available, but we can look at historical trends to give us more of a localized idea of daily arrivals. Is there any historical evidence to suggest that we may be seeing a large number of visitors coming from COVID hotspots?
Well, most of the country seems to be a COVID hotspot right now. Clearly, traditionally, we've had large numbers of people come to Hawaii from the U.S. West Coast, from Washington, Oregon, and California. We've also had a large number of tourists come from the Mountain West region. And most of that region is right now a COVID hotspot. We actually don't know where the visitors are coming from. The state does, because the state essentially is taking addresses of everybody who arrives in Hawaii. So they know where the visitors are coming from. In many ways, I just don't think it makes a lot of difference, because the whole country is essentially a big COVID hotspot.
Now, more recently, just this week, Governor Ige issued a statewide mask mandate. You've advocated for low-cost penalties for not wearing a mask. Do you see this mandate as a major step in the right direction? Of course, this is coming from your perspective, not as a public health professional, but as an economist.
It is moving things in the right direction. It's clear that people should be wearing a mask much more often. I think that the mandate doesn't go far enough. It should just be saying that when you're out in public, you should be wearing a mask. That's a clearer mandate. It would be easier to enforce that mandate with visitors. The current mandate still has all sorts of exceptions, and the 6-foot exception away from each other just makes the mandate difficult to enforce. As far as the penalties for not wearing a mask, the current penalty, a $5,000 fine or up to 1 year in jail, is just far too high. It's far too serious of a penalty for what is a relatively simple violation of the law. What would be better would be to set a penalty that was more like a parking ticket. And I would just throw out the $100 idea that having a $100 penalty for not wearing a mask with limited rights of appeal from that decision would, I think, give people all sorts of incentives to wear masks. Nobody wants to be cited for a $100 fine that they're pretty sure that they're going to have to pay. Whereas under the current system, people essentially are going to fight tooth and nail not being convicted of a misdemeanor. It's a system that just doesn't make a lot of sense right now. I hope that the Hawaii legislature, whenever it comes into session, that it passes new penalties for not wearing a mask. I think it's a good start. It's a good start because we need to be moving toward a mandate that says when you're in public, you wear a mask. I think there's still too many exceptions in the governor's order. I really don't see the problem with when you're outside and you're walking that you're wearing a mask. I don't think we need to be parsing whether or not you're going to be coming within 6 feet of people. If you're outdoors, you're in public, you should be wearing a mask. The good thing about that type of strong mandate is that it makes it easy to enforce. It's easy to tell visitors who come to Hawaii that if you're in public, you need to wear a mask. Right now, the mandate is somewhat parsed. Would a visitor say, oh, I'm walking down the street in Waikiki, I'll try to stay 6 feet away from people so I don't have to wear a mask? I think the problem is that this makes it more difficult for the police to enforce such a mandate.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, daily arrivals to the islands are in the thousands, but by no means has that number even remotely rebounded to what those numbers were a year ago. Now, predicting the direction this pandemic is going to move in has proven difficult in every regard, but given how the state has adjusted to tourism so far since the soft reopening about a month ago, how do you see things proceeding for tourism in Hawaii in the near future, in the next couple of weeks, months, maybe even the next half of a year?
It's very difficult to predict. I think a lot depends upon what happens to the epidemic on the mainland. A lot depends upon what happens to the epidemic in Hawaii. And our epidemic in Hawaii has mostly been community transmission. It hasn't been transmission where predominantly it's returning residents or tourists bringing the epidemic to Hawaii. It's been transmission among local residents. If we don't have our own epidemic under control, it's hard for us to host a good tourism experience. If there's a raging epidemic on the mainland, it's just unclear exactly how people will respond to that, whether or not they want to take vacations. They may decide not to take vacations because they're worried about losing income. They may decide to take a vacation just because they feel like they've been cooped up for much of the winter and that it's time to go somewhere that looks relatively safe. It's just really hard to predict that.
And now looking towards international travel here, let's look at one of Hawaii's largest international travel markets, which would be the Japanese market. I mean, how crucial is that market going to be going forward?
Well, I don't think we're going to see many Japanese tourists in Hawaii for a while. And the basic reason why is Japanese tourists who come here face a 14-day quarantine upon return to Japan. It's very difficult to take a vacation and then face a 14-day quarantine when you return home. So I expect we're going to see relatively few Japanese tourists coming here. What might cause the Japanese government to remove the quarantine? It would be that Hawaii gets its own epidemic under control. Is it possible that that will happen over the next few months? It's possible. The prediction, though, is that we're probably going to go a bit in the opposite direction. If you look at national models, such as the University of Washington International Health and Metrics Evaluation Group, that model shows cases tripling in Hawaii over the next few months. Of course, whether cases triple or not is partly under our own control, whether or not we take proper measures to prevent transmission. But I expect to see very few Japanese tourists here. There is an agreement in place that allows Japanese tourists to come to Hawaii if they take a RT-PCR test prior to travel and they have a negative result. The good thing about that agreement is, again, the Japanese tourists who come here are likely very safe. DeWolf Miller, Tim Brown, and I estimated that only 1 in 50,000 Japanese tourists would be COVID positive when they came to Hawaii, which is a very small number. Japanese tourists have more to fear from interacting with locals than locals have to fear from interacting with Japanese tourists. I think there's two factors operating here. One is that we're never going to see a full recovery in Hawaii until we can get the tourism industry up and running. That doesn't mean that we get the full 10.4 million tourists that came in 2019. But until we're up to half to two-thirds of that total, the Hawaii economy is going to be characterized by high rates of unemployment. And we're going to find that there's all sorts of people here who are going to be suffering. Now, in the early part of the epidemic, the CARES Act relief money helped people enormously. Even though people lost their jobs, they received the $1,000 payments, they received the extra $600 per week in unemployment pay. There was special unemployment assistance for people working in the gig economy. There was all sorts of relief that was provided. Now, much of that relief ran out in August and September. And so Congress's failure to pass a second CARES Act has really been negative for Hawaii because we have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. We're one of the three or four states that's really suffering from the epidemic. And if Congress does not pass another relief package sometime soon, I think we're going to see an awful lot of problems with families struggling in the state trying to feed themselves, pay their rent, pay their utility bills.
Senator, any final thoughts on what we've touched on today?
I think the main thing is that the state needs to continue to work on the whole business of opening tourism. It's something where every single person involved in tourism and every person living here in the state has a big stake in. If we don't get tourism reopened, the state economy is just going to have tremendous problems over 2021. But it's something that people in the tourism sector need to ask, what can they do to help make Hawaii a safer place and pick up the responsibility a little bit more. But we find this all over the place. I think local residents, too, really need to ask themselves, what will happen if my neighbors who live next door and are employed in the tourism economy don't have employment over the next 6 months? It may well be that many of us enjoy walking around Waikiki with fewer people and with nicer beaches and cleaner oceans. But if tourism does not reopen sometime soon, what we're likely to see is just enormous suffering by a large portion of Hawaii's population. I think what's neat, really, is sustained effort by all the stakeholders in tourism. You know, and the stakeholders are the public, there's tourism workers, there's all the people who are not working in tourism. What we need is sustained involvement from everybody. It's hard to keep up sustained involvement in an effort, but this is one that if we do it, there's going to be large gains to Hawaii. With something like the CARES Act, okay, whether or not Hawaii is going to get a second round of relief, at some point we are, but part of the question is when. Is it possible that Congress and the president will reach an agreement before the end of November? You know, it's possible. There's a lot of people out there suffering, and it's very possible the two sides will reach some type of agreement. And an agreement would really benefit Hawaii just because we have so many unemployed people and people who are suffering from the epidemic compared to other states. It could well happen in December when Congress reconvenes again, or it might be until after Biden is inaugurated as president on January 21st, and Congress might then still not pass a relief package until negotiations are over sometime in February, and relief might not appear until March. That would be close to disaster for Hawaii if that happened.
That was UHERO economist Summer LaCroix talking with The Conversation's producer Harrison Patino. They were talking about lessons learned from the pandemic as Hawaii continues its efforts to rebuild its shuttered tourism sector.